With the NHL yet to play, we've still got a little bit of AHL and WHL hockey we can squeeze in before everybody turns their complete gaze to the big boys. We're going to talk about that right now. She hitched a ride up. I love that tune. My name is Jason Carello. I'm here with Chris Withers.
Jason, it is good to be back.
Wonderful to be here. I thought we could talk a little bit about some AHL action that I took in last week, if you don't mind.
Sure.
As you know, I've been going to quite a few Heat games. You've been to one or two yourself.
I've been to a couple. You are getting quite handy with that camera of yours.
The magic black box is doing some of the things that I requested to do. Mm-hmm. I've been pretty happy with some things. And that's actually one of the things I wanted to talk about today. Going to see AHL teams during the NHL lockout, there are a few players on each squad that, well, let's be honest, they wouldn't be playing in the AHL if the NHL was going on.
Right.
Now, you see that really big time in Oklahoma, right, where they had Taylor Hall, Nugent Hopkins, Justin Schultz, Eberle, even Pajarvi. Teams like, for example, the Rochester Americans came into town.
The Rochester Americans, of course, the farm team of the Buffalo Sabres.
By the way, used to be the farm team for?
New York?
And the Vancouver Canucks.
Oh.
Buffalo Sabres farm team came into town, which means we get to see a few guys, a couple anyway, who would almost certainly be on a Buffalo Sabres roster. One for sure named Cody Hodgson. You don't pronounce the G, my friend.
Why the hell did he put it there?
Well, I don't think he put it there. I don't think we can actually blame Cody for that one. But yeah, apparently you don't pronounce the G. So Cody Hodgson was there, of course. Didn't dominate, but he was on the ice a lot. And quite a few people in this market, in the Vancouver area, were certainly watching him to see what he would do. Mm-hmm. But a couple other guys as well. TJ Brennan, a young defenseman, leads the team in scoring, mm-hmm. which I think Buffalo's going to be pretty interested in. And one other fella that was interesting to see, Marcus Foligno, of course, of the Mike Foligno's. Mike Foligno, of course, played for the Buffalo Sabres for quite some time. He was famous for jumping after every goal.
Right.
That was his big thing. He did the Foligno jump.
He didn't score too many, so he didn't...
Well, he played back in the 80s when it was the scoring era, so he put a few pucks in the net.
All right.
Yeah, I don't have stats right in front of me, of course, because I don't do research. As our listeners know. Yeah, so it was interesting to see him play. But I have a question for you, sir.
All right.
Now, I posted this on the blog, but I'd like to get your opinion on it directly. So I went to Friday night's game, shot a bunch of pictures.
Yeah.
Posted a game write-up and a photo gallery on the website. Saturday, went to the game, shot a bunch of pictures, had my notes ready to write up the game. After the game, went downstairs, interviewed Sven Bertschi from the Abbotsford Heat, who will almost certainly be playing for the Calgary Flames this year. Mm-hmm. Quite well-spoken young gentleman. I'm sure we'll use some of the audio later on. And then spoke with Cody Hodgson from the Rochester Americans. Had a good interview. We're going to play a little bit of that as well. In fact, I'll play that right now.
All right.
And how's it feel to be back on the West Coast?
It's nice. It's good to be back in the area and see some family. I'm going to see my uncle here soon, my cousin. Yeah, it's good to be out here and see some familiar faces and some family. They all came out of the game, so it was nice. I got to see, meet a few friends I made in Vancouver, so it's good.
What does it mean to you to get the same kind of media attention even after you've left? You can still get the same kind of crazy media attention whenever you come back.
Well, it just shows how passionate the people are in Vancouver. No, it's the media is kind of, you know, a reflection of the passion that the fans show. And, you know, it was a pleasure to play in front of them and every time I come back here.
Are you excited about the opportunity you have when the lockout does finally end? You know, Derek Waugh is gone and you got a real opportunity with the Sabres to be a top six forward and a big impact guy.
Yeah, well, they gave me a great opportunity last year as well, right off the bat. So I'm looking to come in and have a good good start and I hope we continue from there.
The Sabres had a rough start to the year last year, but they came on for a good chunk of the second half. What do you see happening when things get rolling?
Well, obviously I wasn't there when we were struggling, but, you know, we got a great team. You know, things do get settled here and we get going. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to what we can accomplish.
What's one question you get asked all the time that you inside your head. I mean, obviously you're a pro. You don't roll your eyes on the outside, but inside you're just thinking, oh God, not that question again.
No, really. You guys are all pretty variable in your questions, so don't get asked too much the same thing over and over again.
Wow. Now, was that coached or was that...
I don't know. I've never been asked that question.
Okay, so there's Cody Hodgson talking a little bit about family and saying that the media don't really ask him too many stupid questions, which is nice, I guess.
It is nice. It just furthers my opinion that these hockey players are overly coached in media scrum.
Well, as you notice, I asked him if his answer was coached, and he insisted no. He laughed. Well, he said no.
I mean, there's just so little information that's actually interesting in these player interviews.
Well, I have to say, that's one thing I do like about talking to guys at the AHL level as opposed to the NHL level. In the AHL, there's not quite as much expectation about, first of all, timing. Second of all, being able to speak your mind a little bit and be somewhat interesting. Like I said, Sven Berchi was kind of a fun interview, so we'll do some of his stuff another time. My question to you is this, sir. After the interview that you just heard, and after everybody put their mics away and Cody was going to go and get on the team bus, I dropped the journalist side and I went full fanboy. And I said, excuse me, Cody, I'm sorry to do this, but do you mind signing this picture that I took of you during the game last night? And I got him to autograph an 8x10 of a shot I was pretty happy with that I took during Friday night's game. Of him in a Rochester Americans jersey. Mm-hmm. He was kind enough to sign it. He did ask that he could personalize it, because I'm sure they end up getting a lot of stuff sold online and stuff like that. He signed it up, and then he offered his hand to shake my hand and said, thanks a lot. Nice guy. My question to you is this, sir. Is that crossing any kind of line of kind of misusing my space, being able to get down there to talk to these guys?
Well, that kind of depends. Do you want to be taken seriously?
As what?
As a journalist.
But I'm not a journalist. I'm a blogger. I'm a podcaster. I'm not getting paid for this.
You sold some of your prints for money?
No.
You have.
I've never sold a print. Not one. I had one picture of the longest game from when we covered the women playing the longest game for CF. That was optioned for a book about hockey for children. And I sold one picture of minor hockey, the Squamish Eagles. And it was printed in the Squamish Chief newspaper for $25.
We must have differing ideas of what constitutes exchanging a photograph for currency.
No, you asked if I had ever sold a print. I have never printed a photograph and sold it.
Okay.
And I've not gone to an NHL or AHL or WHL game and taken a picture that was then sold for money. So I've not done that at this point.
That is something that you would like to happen.
Hey, if somebody paid me to go to hockey games, I would jump on it in a second. No problem. But as Jason Carello from Pucked in the Head, I'm a blogger. We don't get paid for what we do here for Pucked in the Head. So if I have Pucked in the Head on my media badge, and I go downstairs to do an interview, when the interview's over, if I now ask for an autograph, is that crossing a line?
Yeah, it's something that I would not do.
But you're not really an autograph guy anyway.
No, but I don't, personally, I don't think I would feel comfortable doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you don't really care and you want to do it, go ahead.
I've asked a few people about this, and one person that I was talking to brought up a very interesting example. Peter Nedved, famously, after a game between the Vancouver Canucks and I think it was the LA Kings at that time, although it might have been the St. Louis Blues, famously, after the game was over, he skated over to Wayne Gretzky and he asked for a stick. The Vancouver media ripped Nedved no end for doing this. If you live and breathe hockey, which players do from the time they're tiny to the time even long after they retire in many cases, what wouldn't you give to have a Wayne Gretzky game used stick in your collection?
I have less of an issue with that. I don't have a problem with a player asking, because they're, I don't know why.
Would that make him look like he's taken less seriously? This is what the media ripped him for, was saying basically, if you revere the opposition, then you're not able to do your job intensely enough.
But I don't think you... Well, you, first of all, you're not in direct competition.
Certainly not.
Because you're not trying to make money. I don't know. It is different to me, but I can't articulate why it's different. Maybe I'm just used to seeing it happen.
Players exchanging stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so it happens in soccer all the time where players will trade jerseys after the game.
Right. But are you telling me that if you went to random media guy at the Vancouver Sun, at NBC, at wherever, if you go to Jim Hewson from CBC, are you telling me he doesn't have any stuff signed? He doesn't have any signed jerseys or doesn't have any signed pictures or anything like that anywhere?
I don't know.
I can't believe it.
Well, I mean, like I said, if you want to do it, do it.
I'm just interested to see what the opinion is. And I'm certainly not trying to argue with you. I'm interested in how you view it.
To me, I think there are probably a lot of people at that game who would be interested in getting a signed piece of Cody Hodgson memorabilia and don't have that ability because they don't have a press pass.
Right. There's nothing that stopped them from creating a website, from doing a podcast. We don't have special training for this.
No.
We just decided to do it.
I also think that the player probably have a reasonable expectation not to get hounded for autographs when they're going in for their post-game interview.
I really don't know what to say to that. I don't think of myself as an autograph hound. For example, at the Canucks practice, I saw guys at the Canucks practice yesterday with binders full of 8x10 photos, and they're frantically flipping through them so that they could go to each and every player as they came off the ice. Those guys I see as hounds.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, an event that, like a practice that's open to people. You know, there's sort of an expectation on the player's part that as they come off the ice, they might get asked by fans for autographs. Whereas if you're a player and you're going into a post-game interview, that's an obligation on your part. You have to go there. I'm just glad to hear that Cody Hodgson asked before he personalized it. I got Andy Moog to sign a hockey card one time, and he just personalized the damn thing without asking. Mint condition rookie card. Destroyed the value of the bastard. I still hate it.
Well, how old were you at the time when this happened?
9.
And see, now that's pretty cynical. I'm not doing this for value. I mean, if you're looking at mint condition rookie card value, getting him to autograph it in the first place destroys the value.
Well, I think a signed rookie card is worth more than a mint condition unsigned rookie card.
Depends on the situation. Honestly, it depends on the situation because the
doesn't
autograph,
matter now.
The autograph, because it has Chris on it. The thing about autographs is you can't, unless they can verify that that is his autograph, it's just damaged the card.
Mm.
Right? You need verification that that is indeed his autograph.
Well, my answer to you is I would not do it, but I don't think less of you for doing it yourself.
All right. Yeah, like I said, it was an interesting conversation that came up after the fact, and it wasn't anyone else. Everyone that I've talked to about it has said kudos for doing it, and it's just been me that's brought up the kind of the ethical question. So it's not like I haven't had anyone come back and say, wow, you really overstepped your bounds there. Like I said, I'm also, I think a lot of people, they realize that I'm doing this for the love of the game. I'm not doing it for a paycheck. If I were going in as, you know, Vancouver Sun reporter or something, I don't know what the Vancouver Sun probably has a policy about that.
I would think so, yeah.
You would imagine.
Maybe that's why the NHL doesn't allow bloggers in very often, even in smaller market teams.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens this year. During the lockout, I did a couple of, one in particular, minor hockey weekend for the Canucks. So we'll see whether or not that translates into some access love during the season. We'll see. But anyway, thanks for chatting a little. By the way, as we end here, I just want to say, thank you, Chris. Over the holidays, you gave me a 6-pack of Parallel 49 Ugly Sweater Stout.
Yes, a milk stout.
Milk stout. Ugly sweater milk stout. I'm going to open one right now. It is quite nice for a bottled stout as opposed to a draft stout.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite nice.
And not too expensive either.
Oh, it was a decent price. Good. Cheap bastard. No, but you gave me a 6-pack of it, and this is my last one of the six.
I'm down to one as well.
So I really appreciate it. He is wearing an ugly sweater. It's got some sort of bizarre, abominable snowman.
I thought, given my predilection for hideous, ugly jerseys, that you would appreciate an ugly sweater beer.
It certainly fits. It was quite a good choice. And I'd just like to say, cheers. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year to you, too. Take care.
Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, I'll see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main, but I'm alright. It's just a red wine stain. It's all too normal now, where once it seemed so strange. Time for crane, and I'm tearing up the rules to the game. Now the moon's on the wane, I'm feeling slightly more sane. I'm riding shotgun with my stuntman, and we're ready for fame. But I'm losing my grip on the reins. It's all too normal now, and once it seemed so strange. Time for
Marcus Foligno.
Ah, of Ken Foligno.
Mike Foligno's son.
Mike Foligno. Who was I thinking of?
Nick Fetillo. Oh, he played for like 100 teams. Anyway.